date into a little dance. Toss and chill for now and maybe later you'll get your chance. So when the show was finished, I took her around the way, and what do you know, she was good to go without a word to say. We was all alone and she said, "Tone, let me tell you one thing, I need $50 to make you holler. I get paid to do the wild thing." Say what? Yo, look, it must be good. You ever walk away? Just break out of you. I'm still a big stop, baby.
Right, 10:25, this is Good Hope FM with Nigel Pearce. More Boss Records at 11 o'clock. Damien Davids, that was really good. Now, yesterday we spoke about Dr. Max Bryce. He's the Vice Chancellor of the University of Cape Town. It was called Inspiring Kids to Aspire to University. And this is an extract from the piece that Dr. Price wrote. It's a great sadness to us that of 2,900 students who wrote the National Senior Certificate in the 20 schools in Khayelitsha last year, 486 achieved a bachelor degree pass and only 20 got into UCT. 10 of those students came from COSAT, that's the Centre for Science and Technology, and the other 10 from the 19 schools. Now, if that's the pipeline of students in Khayelitsha, then as a university, we're not servicing our communities. We have to get more Khayelitsha students into UCT. We're joined now by the Vice-Chancellor of UCT, Dr. Max Price, and Dr. Jonathan Clark. He's the Director of the Schools Development Unit. Good morning, Dr. Price. Good morning, Dr. Jonathan Clark.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Price, let's start with you. How do we all number from 20 to 50 to 100 over the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, the first explanation of why the number is so small is that you can have a university pass or what's called a bachelor's degree pass without having maths and science included in your subjects at the level that we need, or having them at all for that matter. So the reason why so few can come to UCT is that most of our degrees, commerce, science, health sciences, engineering, require maths as a subject, and not math literacy. They require the proper math subject. And so the first intervention is to get many more of the students to study maths and ideally science as well. And the second problem is that when they are studying maths and science, the quality and the levels they achieve, in our experience, are not high enough to be able to succeed in the degree. And so we also have to improve of those. And the interventions that we are aiming at in Khayelitsha are twofold. The first is to try to identify individual students that we think have talent at the grade 10 level and give them extra support. A grade 10 is because that's when they choose their final subject. Although their matric is 3 years away, they make their choices at the end of grade 9, so we need to influence it early that they don't give up maths and science at that point. And we want to then assist them with the weekly classes on the campus, summer and winter camps, and a whole lot of additional support, as well as social support. How do you apply to a university? How do you make choices about which programs to apply for? And building up their self-confidence. And the way we've done it is to ask the principals to identify the top 5 students, or the students that I think have most potential in each of the 20 schools. So that gives us, earned over three years of school, grade 10, 11, 12 means in the end we've got 300 students being taught each week. And hopefully a decent proportion of them will do well enough to come in to the university.
It's coming up at 10:28. This is Good Hope FM with Nigel Pearce. Dr. Max Price is the Vice-Chancellor of UCT. They are endeavouring to get more Khayelitsha students to UCT. Dr. Jonathan Clark is there as well. He's the Director of the Schools Development Unit. Is grade 10 not too late, Dr. Price or Dr. Clark? Should we not be focusing on early childhood development? Because by the time some of those students get to high school, their interest in maths would have waned, because I think there's a language problem. I think some of the teachers are not up to standard.
Yes, well, I think the other side of the Schools Improvement Initiative in Khayelitsha is to not work directly with learners, but to work with teachers. I mean, I think we all recognise many practicing teachers need support. They need to enhance their sort of their content, their pedagogic skills. And one of the projects which we are hoping to be able to initiate in Khayelitsha is focusing at the very beginnings of schooling in Grade R and Grade 1. And in the School Development Unit at UCT, we've always worked with primary school teachers, and I think building the capacity of primary school teachers to teach better is going to be one of our key concerns in years going forward.
It's also, I think, a well-known fact, Dr. Price or Dr. Clark, that even kids that come from the southern suburb schools fail maths at university. How are those kids from Khayelitsha? Because you mentioned early on you're concerned about the number of kids studying maths and proper maths, not maths literacy, and also the quality and the levels coming out of those schools in Khayelitsha. How do you bridge that gap?
Well, I've been fortunate. I was the school mentioned in the article, COSAT. I was principal of COSAT for 7 years, and the intentional program, which has as a key focus mathematics and physical sciences. And we were quite successful there at actually, as I think you might remember, COSAT was one of the schools in the top 10 in the province.
Yep.
At the end of last year, is that we, with a very clear and purposeful focus on building students' capacity in mathematics, it is possible to prepare them for university. And there have been a number of initiatives at COSAT which we're interested in exploring, extending to other Khayelitsha schools. There's a math bridging program which they've been running as part of an enrichment Saturday program at COSAT, which actually takes the matriculants through the first 3 or 4 weeks of first year mathematics. And it's early days yet, but the indications are that really does help them bridge the gap. So I think that the point is no single intervention, there's a whole range of interventions which you have to put together to be able to really give students from that community an opportunity and then a good stab at being successful at university.
And Dr. Price, at the beginning of your piece yesterday, the opening gambit was really about some of the issues that we as a society face, but also looking at Khayelitsha, looking at the Khayelitsha node, I think you've also got to look at the context in which some of those students learn and the teachers conduct lessons.
Of course we do. The we've chosen to focus on Khayelitsha primarily because we can't do everything. We can't reach a huge number of schools, and we think that concentrating our resources in a community could be more effective because, as you say, the context is not just the school. The schools exist in a context. We want to look at issues to do with crime and social instability and drugs and addiction. We have a whole lot of different resources from in different specialties, psychology, occupational therapy, social work and development. And they could have some impact, we would like to think, and this is what we want to develop with the Khayelitsha and other groups. They could have some impact on that context. And if we can concentrate our resources on a community, a broader community, as well as on the schools, we may have some greater effect. The other challenges you identified, or that we identified in the article, are more national challenges, and we certainly focus on that as well, like AIDS and HIV and TB, crime and violence more generally, poverty and inequality. Those initiatives are national policy interventions, and this particular initiative around schools is more community focused.
When the kids, and again we're just focusing on Khayelitsha, but I'm sure it has implications for Mitchell's Plain, a Bonte Yerville, a Lavender Hill as well. When the kids arrive at UCT, how does UCT ensure, Dr. Price or Dr. Clark, that the kids actually graduate and are integrated into the UCT community?
Well, the starting point is try to select those that have a chance of passing. And one of the things we now require all our students from all schools to do is to write a test, an entrance test. It's called the National Benchmark Test. And that gives us the first it's a hurdle, but it also helps us predict who's more likely to succeed and who's not. Because at some level it's about potential and ability, but at some level it's also about what learning you've already mastered in 12 years of schooling. And we don't believe we can compensate for a very deficient schooling. So that's the first intervention, is the selection. The second, based on that test, usually, is to, in a sense, stream students into either the mainstream program or an extended program. Different faculties have slightly different approaches. Some will have a bridging year or an extended year before getting into the main courses. Most will take the first year of studies over 2 years, so the students integrate it into the class with all of the other students, with the mainstream students, but they carry half the workload, and they have extra tutorials, extra small group learning, extra courses such as writing skills and presentation skills, and they also, because of the lighter load, are generally able to cope better with the catch-up that they will need to do. And then some of the faculties will put all the students together to start with and see how they cope, and around mid-year there will be a series of semester exams, and those that aren't coping will be transferred to an additional program for a year and join the class again a year later. So those are the academic interventions, and then there are other kinds of interventions like social and social support, because for many students, and this applies not only students from Khayelitsha, but obviously it's aggravated for students from disadvantaged backgrounds. Students from schools, they're coming to university, and for the first time in their lives, they're living away from home, they're living in a residence maybe, they have freedoms that they have not experienced. They're now over 18, they can drink, of course, and they are part of they're often working in an environment at university which is really unstructured for their time, and they don't know how to structure their time, and they don't have the self-discipline. So that first year in all universities is the year that one has the highest dropout rate, particularly because of this difficult adjustment from the school system to university. And so we need to support students in that way as well. In the residences, we have mentors, senior students who are paired up with the new students to mentor them. We have study groups. We also have tutors, and so the residence is an important part of provides an important scaffolding for students, not only academically, but more generally. And then for some student skills, so many of the students coming will never have had a bank account before, and they've suddenly been given a bursary and don't know how to manage that money. So those are also issues which we need to take care of, particularly for students from disadvantaged backgrounds, so that they don't find halfway through the year they've spent all their money and now they can't pay the second term fees, or they can't eat because they've got no money left.
Like a life coaching.
It is indeed, yeah.
Life coaching course. Listen, I think it's a fantastic initiative. It's a wonderful notion, and I certainly hope that more Khayelitsha students, and I think you alluded to it in your piece yesterday, Dr. Price, it's about driving past the university on the M3 and going, one day I'm going to study engineering or law or politics or economics at that university. It's inculcating that dream at a very, very young age, because whilst UCT may want more Khayelitsha students to come there, I think the Khayelitsha students also have to realise that the parents have to realise it actually starts at home. It starts in grade R, and again fostering that culture of learning, of reading, and you used the word yesterday, aspiring to study at a UCT or a UWC or Stellenbosch for that matter. But I think you're right. More students need to go to university because it does impact on the South African economy in the long run.
I think that's right in many ways. You're certainly right to point out that our expectation is that the graduates from these programs will go to all the universities, and some of them will not get good enough marks to come into UCT and may be better suited to an FET college or somewhere else. But the benefit to the community and the country will be there, whatever. But in addition, the aspiration is really important to the motivation at school level. So if you are at school and you're in an environment where all your peers or the peers in years ahead of you have finished matric and then are jobless and can't find work, and then you start wondering, well, what's the point of working so hard if I'm not going to get a job anyway? I might as well, bunk school or do other things that are more immediate gratification. However, if you are in a community where a significant number of people are getting into university, they're getting good jobs, they're moving up in social and economic status, they become your role models, but you only relate to them if they're from your community and if you can identify with them. So we would hope that even selecting a relatively small number of students from the schools has a ripple effect on the community more generally and on the other kids in the schools, and certainly on the ones we've chosen, and that it will be much more motivating for them and that they'll do better as a result.
It's coming up at 20 to 11. Dr. Max Price, Vice Chancellor of UCT, Dr. Jonathan Clark, Director of the School's Development Unit. Thanks for your time this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very
much. Get connected. Good Hope FM.co.za.
Asher tries new dance moves in the